Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Hey.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely hear you. Yeah. Okay. We're gonna
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, crap.
Oh, my
That's
gosh.
So good. I'm so glad. Cheese and crackers. Oh, man.
Oh, man. I can't wait for your...
My Australian accent?
Yeah, your Australian accent. I think it's going to kill in this video. It's going to be fantastic. Watch out, world.
Yep, here it comes.
Okay, everybody, welcome to Season 3, Episode 12 of the Combined Fund Drives, a podcast for good. My name is Philip Kerrigan. I am the program manager of the Washington State Combined Fund Drive. I am joined by...
Heather Lucas, the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
Yes, you are.
Yes. That,
absolutely.
I'm really impressed with myself for the fact that I have been able to get my
You've
title
been
down.
Nailing that all season.
Yeah.
You struggled with it last year.
I did.
But you've really come around.
Yeah.
A really massive improvement.
I've grown. I've grown.
I've grown. I've been able to give my title.
I know who I am.
Yes.
Here.
We are talking about a real lighthearted subject.
Yeah.
Healthcare and access to healthcare.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we've had much of that conversation lately. I mean,
ever?
Is there anything going on with it?
Huh.
Have
I
we
wonder.
Improved any of it?
Have you heard anything on the news?
I don't really know. I don't really know how people feel about it.
Yeah.
Ever.
Ever.
Healthcare and access to healthcare has become one of those flashpoint issues. And usually when you say flashpoint, it's like, oh, this issue was in the news cycle for 2 weeks. This has been like a 10-year flashpoint.
Yeah.
Something that we've talked about for a long period of time. Much debate around, you know, the unfortunate part about this debate so far, even when it was debated 8 to 10 years ago, is it's always about like, well, who is to blame for this problem, right? And it's never really about, like, it doesn't really ever feel like it's about the people and, like, you know, actually having a conversation about, like, how do we fix it? It's always like, you know who is really the problem? It's these evil insurance companies or these horrible hospitals or all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's always like, it's never about, like, well, how can we come together and actually fix the problem?
Yeah.
One of the things, we talked to a gentleman named Tim Dowling. He's the director of development for Pierce County Project Access. Very interesting conversation with Tim. You know what I really liked about Tim? He was super honest. He was like, that's above my pay grade. I really appreciated that. Don't try and BS.
Yeah.
But he did kind of hit on a few of those sort of things where he talked about the impact of lack of access.
Yeah.
And I think that that's not something that is always quantified. The idea of, like, we know the drastic impact of, like, lack of healthcare coverage, you know, people claiming medical bankruptcy or those sort of things. But we don't also, we don't very often hit on the, on the outside edges of what that is, right? Like a younger kid taking care of their adult parents or vice versa, retiring adults taking care of their younger child who doesn't have any insurance, right? And the sort of fiscal impact that doesn't drown them, doesn't kill them,
right? They still suffer.
But they still suffer, and our economy suffers as a result, because those folks who are younger, who would probably be contributing members to society, taxpayers, go out and buy a home or buy a car or go back to school or any of those sort of things, they can't do it because they're too busy paying off healthcare bills.
Yeah.
They're not bankrupt.
Nope.
Right? They're not bilking the system. They are trying as hard as they can with a job to pay off healthcare bills. Yeah. So it's a really, really interesting conversation. Also, another crazy one is that there are still 40,000 to 50,000 people uninsured in Pierce County.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
No.
It was a really interesting conversation with Tim about an issue that I feel is having almost all of the wrong dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point.
Well, flashpoint things are like that, right?
Yeah, they really are. Yeah. You know, like debates on these sort of things are often, so emotional, so wrapped up in identity that the actual like things you can take care of, they just don't get talked about all that often.
Well, yeah. And then the blame and the finger pointing that just escalates the conversation into like ludicrous. We're not actually talking about the actual thing we need to fix.
Right.
We're just being loud.
Yeah, and you remember like irrational things. Like, do you remember when the Affordable Care Act was first being talked about, and we were talking about pulling the plug on like grandma?
Yeah,
we were gonna have death panels.
Yeah,
and then we were just gonna have this heartless like scene from 1984 where people were just gonna be able to pick and choose.
Oh, are you in the hospital? Well, we're gonna end you.
Right.
What?
I mean, it was just felt so.
I just want to go to the doctor.
It felt so insane. So insane. And then today we are still having this insane conversation around this particular issue.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like this issue is one of those that you can say something that makes no sense if it's just, you know, like I'm having a conversation with you, and then just take that and increase it and inflame it and make it this big talking head kind of screaming at you thing, and that's all anybody hears.
Yeah, very, very weird. It's one of the weirdest conversations I've ever actually seen. Yeah. In terms of like the politics around it.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Like a lot of times you'll at least get to root causes and you'll at least maybe figure it out after the shouting's over. This just does not seem to be able to get past.
Kind of an endless roller coaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really weird. So before we dive into talking to Tim, though, which was a really cool and illuminating conversation about a pretty neat organization that is providing healthcare services for lots of people, you have the most interesting question of the pod you may have ever had. So why don't you go ahead and ask it?
Yeah, when I wrote it this morning, I was just like, oh, man, Philip's going to love it.
I do. This is one of my favorite ones.
I love it. Okay. So if you, Philip Kerrigan, had to willfully lose a body part.
Okay.
And it could be a body part that's, you know, external and hanging off, or it could be a body part internal.
Okay.
Okay. If you had to lose any body part, which one would you willfully give up?
Okay. Which one I willfully give up? Okay. So I have a few categories here.
Okay.
So internally, I feel like the appendix can.
Yeah, I was like, that's a smart move. Smart move.
It causes nothing but trouble, right? Like, it doesn't do anything until it does, and it almost kills you.
Yeah.
Right. So that guy.
Smart move.
He can get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna take the easy road and tell you I'd lop off a pinky and there you go, bada bing, bada boom. Although to be fair, this question's vague enough to where I could get away with a pinky.
You could.
As my answer.
Yeah, and I wrote it that way too.
I'm not gonna do that because that's cheap.
Oh, you're gonna go big.
That's cheap.
You're not going home.
I will say, if I had to take a body part away, it would have to be probably, I'm going to say my right arm.
Yeah. Your whole arm.
Yeah. I don't do much with it because I'm a lefty.
Okay. So it just hangs there useless.
It doesn't hang there useless. It obviously has a function.
But I don't do much with it,
but I think I could probably get away with that.
Okay.
Maybe like the elbow level or something like that.
Okay.
And then there's a third category I want to hit here.
Yeah.
And that is replacement. Which part of my body would I replace?
Oh, I see.
And
so
I'm going to tell
you
this.
Bionic.
I'm very passionate about this particular answer, and that is my friggin' back. I hate my back. It hurts all the time. I got the hunchback. If I could have like a straight back, that would
be. Like a $6 million man back?
Yeah. I don't need anything. I don't need much else.
Yeah.
I just want that to the hunchbacky thing and the pain and the. I want it to go away. So that would be my like replacement part.
Maybe we have to just like find some kind of back braces and strap them onto.
They have this thing I saw on.
I'm trying to think of ways to cure your back without surgery.
I appreciate it. You know, one time they did say like, well, we can definitely help you with your posture with surgery. I mean, you could be paralyzed. I was like, you know what? That's probably I'm good. I'm good.
That's like one of those medical commercials for the pills.
We nick the old spinal cord. We could paralyze.
Side effect is death. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I saw this like bracy thing that you can get on Facebook or whatever, or where it's, you know, it's like a company. That's where I saw the advertisement, and I tried it. And they were like, you will see amazing results within 2 weeks. And I saw nothing.
Yeah.
So I did not like
Was it one of those things where you felt also like compressed?
Oh, for real. Yeah. Like you, first of all, you had to wear a shirt underneath it because otherwise it would dig into your armpit area because it's just digging in.
Yeah.
So you got this like huge like a shaved mark. And you were like, this sucks, man. I'm totally uncomfortable. I'm more uncomfortable wearing this thing than I'm like just sitting there.
Oh man.
So that would be my number one.
Okay.
Would be the back replacement.
Yep. Okay.
How about you?
Well, you know, I thought about losing like a leg or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did think smart move. You definitely get rid of that appendix. You know,
it's an easy one. Slow
hanging
fruit.
It's an easy one, right? Yeah. Maybe the tailbone, the coccyx.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't use my tail.
I mean, we don't really do much of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, I'm an organ donor. I'd give up a kidney, no problem.
Yeah, because you could give one up.
I could give it to somebody.
That's true.
Who needs a kidney? I have one.
Anybody need a kidney? Hit us up on Twitter.
Heather's kidney available.
Hashtag have Heather's kidney.
Yeah, I figured, you know, like.
That's good. Yeah. And very noble of you.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a really nice answer. Not vain like mine. Mine was like, I'd like to be better myself. And yours was like, I'd like to give up one of my organs to somebody who needs it. Thanks, Heather.
You're welcome, Philip.
So that was so if you want to, you can go ahead and let us know on Twitter, even though you never will. You never won't do that. Which body part you'd like to willfully lose? Yeah.
Maybe your mom will let us know. So she listens now.
Yeah, my mom does listen.
Yeah.
My mom does listen. So shout out to my mother. Thank you, Mom. Keep listening to the show. I hope you don't think I'm too ridiculous.
Well,
but let's face it. I mean, based on the way we just talked about this, you think I'm ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. She still loves you.
She does still love me. I know that. But she probably is definitely rolling her eyes like, I can't believe he's talking about getting rid of body parts.
Yep.
You're
welcome, by the way.
Hi, Mom. Without further ado, we're going to toss it to the interview with Tim Dowling, the Director of Development for Pierce County Project Access. Here it is. All right, so we are joined by Tim Dowling. Dowling?
That's correct.
All right, Tim Dowling, the Director of Development for the Pierce County Project Access. We are talking about a very lighthearted subject, healthcare and access. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you again for having me. Honored to be here.
So can you talk a little bit about, give us a little history of Pierce County Project Access and what it is you do for the community?
Yeah, sure. So I can go all the way back to the mid-90s, late 90s. Project Access was an idea that started actually in Asheville, North Carolina. Some doctors out there recognize the issue of access to specialty care specifically. And so the Project Access there did really well, and the idea spread across the country. And then in 2009 is when it made its way to Tacoma and Pierce County.
Okay.
So there were about two or three individuals associated with the Pierce County Medical Society who heard about this and advocated and pushed for it for 3 or 4 years until in 2009, MultiCare and CHI Franciscan founded our organization.
Okay.
So we're really founded by three. It's the two health systems, MultiCare and Franciscan, and then the Pierce County Medical Society.
Yeah.
All three are key partners to this day. So we've been going since 2009, and donated care is really the bread and butter of all Project Accesses. There are two other Project Accesses in the state. One, of course, in Seattle, serving King, Snohomish, and Kitsap County. And I believe there's another one in Spokane County or the east side of the state. And all the Project Access, again, donated care is really about access to specialty care specifically. There are individuals to get primary care through community health care, CMAR, community health care, neighborhood clinics, things like that.
Right.
But as soon as a lab or image or testing or more severely a surgery or a big operation, which requires a specialist, and you're uninsured or you're low income, it's super expensive. It's just really not all that possible.
Yeah.
And going through charity care through the hospitals is quite a long process and a lot of paperwork. So Project Access really streamlines charity care. We enroll a bunch of specialists in Pierce County. Project Access actually is one of the only Project Accesses in the entire country to include primary care as well.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
So we have 126 primary care providers who donate appointments as well. then the Affordable Care Act passed, and that changed the landscape quite a bit.
Yeah.
A lot of project accesses around the country shut their doors thinking,
wow,
okay, we're good. Everyone's insured now.
Yeah.
Hold the phone is what we said in Pierce County, and we created our premium assistance program. Uh-huh. So our premium assistance program sponsors a silver level plan on the state exchange. We just cover those monthly premiums, and the individual in the program is still responsible for copays and meeting the deductible and whatnot, but we help maintain that insurance for them. And so that's really where we're at. It brings us up. It'll be our 10th year this October in existence, and we are super excited about all the potential still to grow.
So walk us through how you would come into play for somebody in need. So let's say a person has a stroke, and they are out of work, and so they're in, and they actually survive, you know. But they don't have insurance to cover things. They won't be able to, you know, see a neurologist. Maybe some of the physical therapy stuff is going to be hard. Where would somebody like Pierce County Project Access come in to helping that type of individual?
Yeah. So since we have such a close relationship with the health systems, we have a lot of relationships with their emergency departments, as well as some of the primary care providers for low-income individuals, like Community Healthcare is our largest referral partner. So for someone who had a stroke or something pretty severe like that, they would probably be caught in the system maybe at the emergency room, for instance, where we work with several of the emergency departments in the county, do a light screening on the phone, make sure that they meet the eligibility requirements, which for Project Access or for Donated Care is really straightforward. Again, we're only Pierce County, so they have to be a Pierce County resident for at least 3 months. They must be uninsured. No citizenship is required. And then the income level must be 300% or less of the federal poverty level, which for this year is roughly $37,000 a year for a household of one. So we work with all those referral partners to kind of catch people who are already within the system, and the emergency room is a big one. But people can self-refer as well. You know, if they just see us out in the community, we have a website. If they've, you know, had another nonprofit partner that knows of us, people can self-refer as well.
Roughly how many folks do you assist on an annual basis?
That's a great question. So we are a small staff of five, myself included, one executive director, one program coordinator for premium assistance, and then just two program coordinators for donated care, serving the whole county.
That's
so
insane.
We are always up to our ears in referrals and getting back to people. We serve roughly 800 to 900 people a year. It's typically a six-month enrollment for donated care, but we do re-enrollments all the time, especially if people, you know, are needing that chronic disease with primary care and needing the ongoing support.
Excellent.
So, like, you're obviously based in Pierce County and focusing on people there, but can you speak to what lack of access to any kind of that specialized care looks like for people in Pierce County or Washington?
Yeah, it is. It's really rough. You know, I being the director of development, a lot of my job is to be out in the community, building relationships, obviously to raise money and awareness. And it's so relatable. Even if you are insured, you know, I was uninsured not too long ago. My dad, who's retired, is insured, but his deductible is so high that what's the point?
Might as well be uninsured.
And I was just meeting with a small business owner through the Chamber of Commerce, Pierce County, and talking to him, seeing what kind of, you know, needs that maybe his employees would need is what my mind just went to, because these are folks who are maybe minimum wage, kind of fall in the gaps of services. They're not insured through their employer. And here he is, this owner, saying, you know, holy crap, this is me. I qualify, actually, the business owner himself, because those margins are so small. So it's a really tough situation that I think everyone in the country can relate to, whether you're insured or not. Specifically, another example would be UW Tacoma Student Services. They have, again, access to the primary care, but through a partnership with Franciscan. But then as soon as their primary care physician there recommends a lab, an image, a test, that's not always communicated to the student that that's actually not covered. That requires a specialist or some ancillary service. And so the student gets a bill thinking, oh, wait, I thought I was covered. I wasn't.
Right.
So there's all these little complications and things. And I do got to say that I'm very optimistic and really encouraged by just what I've learned. I don't come from the healthcare industry. I've been with Project Access for a year and I've learned so much about it and met so many wonderful people. And there is a really concerted effort, a lot of enthusiasm to work together, figure out the gaps, make sure that we're not missing anything and kind of make it an overall improved experience for the healthcare consumer.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So this topic is all anybody can ever talk about sometimes with the idea of healthcare and insurance and access to it. And of course, one of the major sort of talking points that'll be out there over the next 2 years is things like Medicare for All trying to get everybody covered. And of course, we just did that for 8 years with the Affordable Care Act. Can you talk about, do you think the idea of coverage for all will be something we actually see in our lifetime? Do you see a moment where everybody will be able to be covered and costs mitigated? Or is that too steep of a goal to try and accomplish?
That's a great question. Yeah. And so I have to wade through folks that I've worked with and talked to about this at length. There's been opinions on both sides about it. I would say that overall, though, there's certainly more of an appetite now than there was even 5 or 10 years ago for more of a universal coverage. I would think that it's possible, but that's my personal opinion. We certainly believe at Project Access that every single person, no matter their background or income level, deserves access to care and to health.
Right.
And we know that this isn't just a feel good, you know, do the right thing type thing, but this has long-term economic investment as well. When you have a healthier workforce, our businesses produce more. So it's kind of a win-win. Being that America is the richest country in the history of the world, you'd think that we could find some room in the budget, but I know that there are some really tough decisions to be made, and that's much, much higher than my pay grade.
Well, that was a great answer to that question.
Thanks.
Very diplomatic, sir. You should run for office.
Nice. So when healthcare isn't, like, it's not considered a basic right or a need for all, I mean, when we're in that kind of situation, like, in your experience, who suffers the most when it's not something that's just guaranteed to all of us?
I think we all suffer. You know, I think that we typically can be a little bit short-sighted. Well, I'm covered. Luckily, you know, with Medicaid and with the Affordable Care Act, that we have seen the uninsured rate, at least in Pierce County, these are rough estimates, really been cut in half.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so that has actually decreased a little bit of the urgency as well, but there's still 40 to 50,000 uninsured individuals in Pierce County. I would say families suffer the most is what we see.
Yeah.
You know, kids are covered up until 18. Pregnant women are covered up until two months postpartum.
Okay.
And then it's... Then you're kind of on your own again.
Yeah.
So there's some short-term solutions with some of those coverages, but when your family, your relatives aren't working, it's going to affect the whole center. If you're a kid and you're covered, but then their parents aren't covered.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of student population, for instance, they're covered, but their family who's trying to support them in school or working gets sick, they're uninsured, they have high bills, then you see that student having to make some sacrifices to support their family.
Sure.
And so, and all of that, again, I think has an economic factor as well.
Right.
That student
can't become a contributor.
Exactly.
Right? They're too busy. They're too busy trying to help family members pay off medical bills.
Exactly.
Right. Let's forget the federal conversation for a second, because that's the one in some all by itself. Let's
a
talk about
just for that.
Yeah, you could do a podcast.
Thank
just for
you.
People do podcasts just for that. But let's talk about Washington State and sort of what you see at the government level with regards to Washington State. Do you think that our state government here is doing enough to fight for access to health care for our citizens? Or do you think there is something they can even do more?
Another great question. Again, a little bit higher than my
Yeah, of course.
I'm glad we've moved off the federal conversation to state level.
Yeah,
but still,
yeah.
We expect a very diplomatic answer.
Right.
Well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
We're going to need the same type
of
answer.
I'll do my best. Washington State's an awesome place to live. I think we are so lucky. You know, I grew up in Gig Harbor, attended Washington State University, go Cougs.
Yeah.
Now I've been living in Tacoma since. And, you know, I've done some traveling around the country, talked to a lot of different people around the country, and I still feel extremely blessed and lucky to live in this state. And I think everyone who lives here can kind of relate to that. You know, we're one of the states that accepted the Medicaid expansion and the ACA. So that is a huge benefit. Of course, there's going to always be more need out there until every single person
is
covered and accounted for. But I know, especially through our partnership with the Washington State Health Exchange, Benefit Exchange, through our Premium Assistance Program, that we have a great relationship with them. They're very responsive. Some of the MCOs and the Premium Assistance Partners for the actual insurance carriers are great partners. Shout out to, you know, Coordinated Care, Molina.
Yeah.
Those folks do a really good job. So Washington State's a great place. I think that we're one of the leaders in the country as far as all those movements, and especially around healthcare. But there's always going to be more to go until every single person's covered.
How in your sort of limited time interacting with them, how have you seen the hospitals do? Are they pretty good to work with regards to keeping costs low for patients? Because you hear a lot about that too, that those costs can become an issue. They're pretty expensive, and it's tough for insurance companies to negotiate those prices down. Do you find that as a nonprofit working with local hospitals in your area that they are pretty good at trying to keep those costs low?
So Multicare Health Systems and CHI Franciscan Health Systems are two of our largest funders. They are founding organizations. We have board members from those organizations. So they are wonderful partners. I can't really praise them enough. They do a lot. The health systems really take a beating, I think. They have to absorb so many costs. And part of that is the uninsured flooding into the emergency room. So they continue to work with us and fund us because they see a cost savings. So something like three times return of the funding they put into Project Access, they save three times as much because we help divert emergency room usage. So who would think that giving out the free care, like surgeries and stuff, would actually save them money?
Yeah.
So a lot of the unseen work we do is educating the consumer on how to navigate the system. Do they, I guess it's a little outside of my role to know or to comment on that, how they do on regulating their prices. I know that we follow their same eligibility for a lot of the charity care resources that they have available. I know they're very willing and flexible to work on those type of things. So I'd always recommend reaching out to their charity care departments if you do find yourself in those positions, and those folks can help you out.
I think that's really interesting because I think there are people who don't even know that those services exist.
Yeah. Exactly. It's such a big, huge machine, the healthcare system is, and there's so many different moving parts. It gets awfully complicated, but there's always some kind of option, and they're going to be willing to work with you. You may have to put in a lot of effort into going through that charity care process, but it's worth it. Project Access is different in that we make it a lot easier. So you work through us and we kind of do all that work for you.
You do the heavy lifting.
Exactly.
Awesome. So let's say someone hears the podcast and they want to start giving to Pierce County Project Access. Can you talk a little bit about what donations do for your organization?
Oh, they're huge. So most of our funding had come from the health systems in the past. They've maintained that level over the 10 years. We're super grateful for that. They hired me last year to diversify revenue, raise more money, of course, because there's still a lot of need. I had mentioned we serve about 800 to 900 people a year in our staff of five, and that's only two for donated care currently. There's maybe 40,000 still.
Yeah, you were talking about that. That's a pretty stunning number. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're thinking that this
it's
got
hard,
taken
hard
care
to
of.
Track as well, but that's the estimate kind of around the county. And so huge gap that we are really wanting to work. So any donation, especially individual donations, people who have never heard of us before, please check out our website, mm-hmm. pcprojectaccess.org. You can read all about our programs, about our history. You can go to the Give tab. You can learn how to support us through Fred Meyer Rewards or Amazon Rewards as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to give, but a reoccurring monthly donation that's sustainable is great. 10 bucks a month, 20 bucks a month, it's one lunch or something, can really go towards sponsoring the cost of one patient in our donated care.
Wow. So yeah. Cool.
That's life-saving healthcare that you can contribute to. Cancer surgeries, procedures, knee replacements, all of those huge expensive surgeries that really cause people to go bankrupt. Otherwise, you can help support. So if you believe that every single person deserves the dignity of healthcare, Project Access is certainly a great organization to support.
Very cool. Right well on. Said.
So do you have any programs or upcoming events you want to highlight?
Yeah, we've never done an event before.
Oh,
yeah, that's going to change this
year.
Yeah, we're actually...
They hired Tim and now they're doing events.
And I'm a bit risk-averse myself. You know, we're not a huge flashy organization. We are a little under the radar.
Yeah.
So we're not going to do a huge auction yet. But we are going to do a fun little happy hour type event.
Okay.
Invite people to the Hub on Tacoma Avenue.
It's right
near our office on the Pierce County Medical Society building. So it's going to be May 16th. It's a Thursday, 5 to 7. Come get some free appetizers, free beer. Learn about our programs. Hear from our staff. Hear from our newly hired executive director, Vanessa Kitt. Have some of our we'll have some of our volunteer doctors there as well. Hear their story and some patient. Hopefully some patients as well will be there to share their story as well. Because it's really incredible. So that'll be the upcoming event, May 16th, 5 to 7, happy hour.
And you said free beer?
Yeah, free is what I heard.
One, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
One. Okay. One.
Okay. We don't want to get too crazy.
Well, yeah, anytime you say beer, I mean, ears perk up, right?
Free food and beer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Tim, thank you so much for coming and coming onto the podcast and talking about this very important issue for lots of folks in the community. We really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you again for having me.
Okay, and that was Tim Dowling, the Director of Development for Pierce County Project Access, talking about this very, very cool organization that helps those in need, especially in Pierce County, kind of fill the gap between getting medical care and losing all of your money doing it. So it was really, really neat to talk to him about it. I'm sure you've got some facts and figures.
I do.
All right, hit me with it.
The internet is a wealth of knowledge. And
of true knowledge at all times.
Everything on the internet is true.
There's no question.
Yeah. Okay, so we, you know, access is a big deal. Like we talked with Tim, access when it comes to specialized things. If you need surgery, if you have to go see a specialist, like that stuff, it's far reaching for some people.
Right.
Whether it's because like they don't have access simply to those procedures or they can't afford them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to how do you fix issues with access?
Yeah.
The internet provided five ways.
Oh, the internet provided five ways.
Yes, thank
you. Do tell, internet.
Thank you, internet. So internet says that we should ensure adequate funding of the Children's Health Insurance Program, the CHIP program.
Okay.
And retain Medicaid expansion.
Yeah.
And then implement the expansion in more states.
Got it.
So we'd cover more people, especially when they are lower income, elderly, children, like they need care.
I love it.
They need coverage.
It's fantastic.
Great start, right?
Yes, great start.
Great start. So then stabilizing individual insurance marketplaces and retaining the Affordable Care Act, ACA, market reforms.
Okay.
Okay, so that's going to lead to stronger health insurance and the marketplace and ensure that those lower moderate income
and they're talking about things like the whole idea of like the mandate that everybody must have insurance, those sort of things.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, and then something that I wouldn't have thought of, physician shortages.
Wow.
That's a thing now. So
okay,
yeah.
I
so
did
just
not know
like
that.
There are certain industries where people just aren't entering them.
Yeah,
and like if you want to be a doctor, a nurse, any kind of specialist in the medical field, you've got to go for training.
Yeah, it's a big time one,
and you've got to go for like
a long time, and it costs you lots of money.
Exactly, like you're gonna be spending a lot of money.
Wow.
So there are a lot of people who are like, I can't afford
Sounds
the time.
Sounds like you're dealing with a systemic problem there, Ms. Lucas.
Huh?
That's weird.
That.
I don't like that.
No. Let's ignore it and shout about it.
Yeah.
Shout about something else.
Yeah.
Then there's stuff like newer technologies, telehealth, Okay.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. It's like where you FaceTime
you FaceTime your doctor, provider. Right? Yeah. So you can totally just have like these conversations with your doctor where, you know.
I'm just thinking of like, what is this rash down here, doc? Your doctor's like whoa, God's sakes.
Whoa. You got to warn me about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm not that kind of doctor.
Yeah.
But yeah, so stuff like that where you can have those kind of, instead of going in and saying, I have this problem, I'm not sure. And then having the doctor kind of be like, well, let's guess and poke and prod at you for a little bit before I say, oh, well, this is what
that's
you
good.
Need.
Yeah.
They have that, like that. So you don't have to do that first step.
Cool.
And then the last thing the internet suggested is that efficiency could be increased. In the existing workforce by, quote, instituting common sense medical liability reforms and reducing government and insurance industry regulatory burdens.
Oh, wow. They went in the opposite direction that I thought they were going to go to, eliminating the regulatory burdens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Free for all. So then, as I was doing some research, I found something extraordinarily interesting to me.
Okay.
As both a state employee and a person who is a nerd for politics.
Got
and
it.
Working in the legislative building. Yeah. There is a bill right now. Okay. Senate Bill 5822.
Okay.
It's been sponsored. It is to provide a pathway to establish a universal health care system for residents in Washington.
What? That's happening right now?
Yeah. So right now.
What?
I know. You had no idea, did you?
I had no idea.
So this bill, has already passed through the Senate. It's in the House right now.
What is happening right
now? Yeah. So I want to read this part from this bill. So SB 5822.
Yeah.
It's an act relating to providing a pathway to establish a universal health care system for residents of Washington State, creating new sections, and providing an expiration date. I don't know what the expiration date is, but I'll post this so people can read the thing.
Yeah.
It's only 3 pages, so, right?
Good.
But Section 1, the legislature finds that, A, healthcare is a human right and it is in the public interest that all residents have access to healthcare that improves health outcomes, contains healthcare costs for the state and its residents, and reduces health disparities.
Wow.
Healthcare is a human right.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That's crazy. I can't believe that hasn't gotten more traction.
Yeah. I was just like, what in the world? That is amazing.
Yeah.
Way to go, Washington.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that.
Yeah. I could not. I could not believe that. So that is happening right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Super cool.
Oh,
so there's a number of senators who are on this. It looks like people are working together.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they're technically working across the aisle. I think most of the people who are on this are Democrats, but that's cool. That is something that has gone as far as it has.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I wished we had smarter dialogue about these sort of things, to be honest with you, because we're not having it right now.
No, we're not.
I'm blown away by that. I'm speechless.
Yeah.
I want to thank Tim Dowling for coming on to the program, talking about Pierce County Project Access. Give you a little bit of a rundown of the events we're currently in and so our upcoming events. We are in it right now with Well Fed, Well Read. We have 3 more days to go. So if you have canned goods, if you have things you want to, old books that you used to read to your kids that you want to bring them in to your local office and help your local office win Well Fed, Well Read. It runs until the 12th. And then, of course, we have our May 9th Leadership Breakfast. An amazing, amazing group of speakers will be there. We'll unveil that lineup here very soon. And that same week is Public Service Recognition Week. We will be in Olympia at the big old PSRW event on the Capitol grounds on May 8th from 11 to 1. Weather permitting, the program manager will be at his papa shot.
I love it.
Prepared to take on all comers. And I cannot reveal the prize because we frankly don't know what it is yet, but you will get a small prize, not huge, it's humble. We're a humble organization.
Yes.
You will get a small prize if you beat the program manager in papa shot.
You know, for the first hour of PSRW, it's just going to be you facing off against Jerrica, Dawn, and I.
Well, you know,
that's really it.
I thought about that too. I was like,
no problem.
I'm going to throw this challenge out there, and everyone's just so like smash and grab during the PSRW event that like they won't even swing by. But I think this will get them there.
I like it.
Beat me at this game, and you get something. So that's. I think it's a pretty good deal.
I like it.
You get to humble me. And
because you need it.
Yeah, I'm so full of myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that'll be coming up in on May 8th and the Leadership Breakfast on May 9th. We want to thank Tim again for coming on to the show, and we will see you next week.
Bye.